Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score, and I promised that we would be back. We would recap the rest of the moves from the first week of free agency. It just really depended when stuff was going to happen, and Wednesday, most of Thursday, it was fairly quiet compared to that big wave that we had early in the week. But then Thursday night, we had some big news drop. Keenan Allen got traded to the Bears. Marquise Hollywood Brown, he signed with the Chiefs. So that gave me enough to write another column, which is up over at the Score. More analysis and projections for the late week signings and trades. I also updated my rankings, not once, but twice, because the first version went up right before the Allen trade came down. So those are all up to date, and I'll continue to update those as more news comes out. Same goes for the fantasy depth charts that are up over at the Score, the free agency index as well. And remember, if you want to hear my thoughts on everything that happened early in the week, there's two episodes, one from Monday, one from Tuesday. You can go back and listen to those. It's day one and day two recaps for free agency. But today, I'm going to talk through the notable moves that happened since the last episode on Tuesday. So that includes the Diontae Johnson trade, because that one came down right after we recorded on Tuesday. But let's start today with Keenan Allen and that deal that went down last night. The Chargers, they found a way to overcome this really tough salary cap situation that they were in, and they managed to save a couple guys, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, their star pass rushers. They're going to stay on that defense, but it came at the expense of the receiving core. And they released Mike Williams before this trade went down, thought maybe they'd be able to keep Keenan Allen, but no, they decide to trade him. And it was kind of stunning, just for a fourth round pick. He is off to Chicago to be a part of that Bears offense. And even at 31 years old, Allen continues to be one of the most productive pass catchers in the league. He's coming off a season where he had 108 receptions, 1,243 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns, and the Bears just got him for a fourth round pick. And he's joining this offense that is on the rise, right? They already have a number one receiver in DJ Moore, so now you're going to have a really potent combo between those two. And if they draft Caleb Williams first overall, which is what everyone expects right now, the rookie is going to step into the league with one of the best receiver duos out there. And how many times have we seen a rookie come in and have those kind of weapons to work with? Now, for Allen, it's kind of difficult to envision his numbers rising with this move, right? You're going to the Chicago offense that already has DJ Moore there. They're going to have a rookie passer who we think is going to be very good, but you can't necessarily just pencil that in that he is going to put up huge stats in his first season. So it kind of complicates the outlooks for both Moore and for Allen. Right now, I have them both in the wide receiver two mix for fantasy. I have Moore as sort of a mid-range wide receiver two, Allen a little bit further down, kind of a fringe low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three. The guy who's going to get hurt the most by this is tight end Cole Kmet. He's going to be the real faller here, because we're going to struggle to see him get significant targets consistently. So he's going to drop into that tight end two streamer mix, more of a touchdown dependent option, not somebody that you're going to want to target. But right now for Allen's 2024 projection, I have it at 15 games. He's definitely missed time over the last couple of years. He's on the wrong side of 30. So I'm kind of factoring that in, but I have him right now at 83 receptions, 956 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. And like I said, that puts him sort of on that borderline low-end wide receiver two range. Now, another move that we got to talk about here is the one that I mentioned in there, and that's the Chargers releasing Mike Williams. And to lose the two top guys in your wide receiver room, that is rough. But we have to remember that Jim Harbaugh's coming in here. They want to put their stamp on this roster, and that means some big, bold moves to get things right with the salary cap and to kind of craft things how they envision it going. And what that kind of seems like is, you got to remember, Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator there. We're probably going to see a more run-heavy approach in this offense. Now, it shouldn't take long for Williams to find a new home. We know that when he's healthy, he is 29 years old, but when he can stay on the field, he is a quality starter, both in real life and in fantasy. We've seen him put up top 15 wide receiver stats for fantasy before. So depending where his landing spot is, he could be a good fantasy asset this season, but we got to wait to find out which club he's going to sign with. Now, the moves for the Chargers, like I'm saying, that is the more concerning part, because you have guys like Justin Herbert there, who has been a quality fantasy quarterback in the past, but now you're taking away his top two receivers. They have the fifth overall pick in April's draft. Some people are speculating that they could be a candidate to move down and kind of pick up more picks. The Vikings have traded to get a second first rounder, so they could be a team that's looking to move up, and all of a sudden you could see the Chargers have a few more picks to help them reshape that roster. But if they stick at five, they would have a shot to get Marvin Harrison Jr., or Malik Nabers, who are the clear top two receivers in this class, and both guys profile as really big difference makers in the pros. So that would be exciting. But overall, I think we have to look at this Chargers offense. And when it comes to the projections, we have to anticipate that they're going to be running the ball a lot more this year. And right now, just Gus Edwards, who we talked about in the past episodes, he's the guy that they signed in free agency, but you have to think that they're going to draft somebody maybe on the second day of the draft, rounds two and rounds three. Maybe they'll bring a guy in, and it could even be Blake Corum, who played for Harbaugh at Michigan. But all of this is forcing me to push Justin Herbert down. His projection now is putting him in that very low-end QB1, almost high-end QB2 range. So not a guy that I'm really looking to grab. Someone in Dynasty that I think you could get a deal on right now based on overall just the public perception being down on him. I expect a good long career. He's a talented quarterback, but for 2024, it's not looking great at the moment. And I didn't mention them, but I mean, Quentin Johnston, last year's first rounder, we know his struggles as a rookie. He's looking like he could potentially be a bust. Josh Palmer's a nice piece, but he's more of a number two or number three option. So right now they don't have the guys in place to really support a quality passing attack. They need to draft somebody, and you hope to see them go early and try to get one of those big names in the draft. Now, there was another trade that happened. Like I said, it was a few days ago now, but since we're talking about that Keenan Allen trade off the top, I might as well mention the Deontay Johnson trade as well. The Panthers acquiring him. And I mean, last year, they fielded one of the worst receiving cores in the league for Bryce Young. And that's the complete opposite of what we're seeing the Bears do for Caleb Williams, right? They have gone out, they have got him nice pieces. Bryce Young last year, he struggled. I mean, Adam Thielen, he's past his prime. Jonathan Mingo, somebody who I actually liked coming out, he wasn't able to do much in that offense. And we'll see if some improvements to the offensive line, if some of that stuff can help Bryce Young as well. But getting him a competent number one receiver had to be at the top of the list. And I think they've done that here. Deontay Johnson, not an elite guy, not, you know, one of the top five or even top 10 receivers in the league, but a competent number one in an offense. We've seen him put up good seasons before. And you can't forget, I mean, he was the wide receiver 10 back in 2021 for fantasy, finished with 107 catches, 1,161 receiving yards, and 8 touchdowns. And now he's 27 years old, but he has topped 86 receptions in 3 of his last 5 seasons as a pro. And he's given the Panthers that legit number one guy that they can trust, somebody that is going to get open and give Bryce Young that target. And he's capable of putting up top 25 fantasy numbers this year at receiver. So somebody that I think is definitely worth targeting in fantasy drafts based on the volume that he is going to get in this offense. And if new head coach Dave Canales, if he can work the same magic that he did with Geno Smith in Seattle and with Baker Mayfield in Tampa, the Panthers' passing attack, it could get a lot more interesting this year. And for Johnson, I have his 2024 projection at 17 games, 89 receptions, 934 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. But honestly, I might be coming in a little bit low on that. Like, just based on volume, he could have a very, very big season. And you look back to what Adam Thielen did. It's a different offense, of course, but what Adam Thielen did last year, just not having really any other competent weapons, he got a ton of volume. We could see something similar for Johnson this year. Now, flipping back to some of the moves we've seen more recently, another one that happened last night, the Chiefs signing Marquise Brown. And I wonder if the Chiefs might have been in the mix for Keenan Allen, because we got news, the reports came out that the Keenan Allen trade went down. And then immediately after, it was just moments after, the reports came out that the Chiefs were signing Brown. So maybe they were in on Allen, it didn't happen for them, and it makes sense. If I was the Chargers, I wouldn't want to trade Keenan Allen to one of my rivals. And so then they pivot and they go to somebody else, and that's Marquise Brown. And regardless, Patrick Mahomes getting another weapon to play with, it is a serious upgrade for them. Brown is a guy who he's dealt with injuries, I mean, to himself and to his quarterback during the 2 years that he spent with the Cardinals, but he's just a couple seasons removed from having a 1,000-yard campaign with the Ravens. And his speed, his field stretching ability, it's going to be a welcome addition in that Andy Reid offense. Should really help take some pressure off Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice. And catching passes from Patrick Mahomes on a one-year deal, it's a smart move for him, and it makes him an intriguing fantasy wide receiver 3 flex. And he has an even higher ceiling than that if he can earn enough targets alongside Kelce and alongside Rice, or if one of those guys gets injured at any point during the season. So this doesn't make a huge impact on the fantasy projections for Mahomes and Kelce and Rice, but it does give Hollywood Brown a shot to kickstart his career, and you like to see that. So Brown's 2024 projection for me, 15 games, another guy who's dealt with injuries recently, but 62 receptions, 837 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. And again, that's one where I feel like I could be coming in on the very cautious side with him just because of the other weapons that are in that offense and because we haven't seen him do it in the last couple years. But there's a higher ceiling for him in that offense playing with Patrick Mahomes if they decide to feature him more. Now, the Titans make a big move here. They sign Calvin Ridley, and it's a 4-year, $92 million deal. And there was a bunch of reports that it was going to be the Patriots or the Jaguars that were able to get him, but Ridley inks this massive deal with the Titans. And in Tennessee, he's going to battle with, you have 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins. Those guys are going to try to fight for the number one role based on the money that he's getting. I'm thinking that they're going to lean towards Ridley, and he talked in his press conference about getting a chance to run a full route tree. Maybe that's something that Jacksonville wasn't allowing him to do, but now you have to remember this is a different Titans offense that we've seen in past years, right? Before was built around, you know, Mike Vrabel's mentality, and they wanted to run the ball with Derrick Henry, but now you have a new head coach in Brian Callahan there. It's expected to be a more pass-heavy scheme, and I'm kind of excited about that, though. The questions are going to be around Will Levis, and can he support these weapons that they have there now? If he stumbles, it won't be because of the skill position talent, right? With Ridley, with Hopkins, you have a former first rounder in Treylon Burks there. You got a pretty good pass catching tight end in Chigakonkwo. You got 2 explosive backs who can also catch the ball pretty well in Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. So Ridley's success is going to come down to Levis's development, but it's still wise, I think, to approach this Titans offense cautiously just until Levis can prove himself. But it's hard to see Ridley and Hopkins as anything more than wide receiver 3 flex options for fantasy unless Levis can take a massive step forward. I think we're going to see those guys kind of trade off different weeks. And overall, I don't know that one of them is going to emerge as a huge fantasy difference maker, but they're both going to be guys that'll be able to put up some decent numbers. And for Ridley, his 2024 projection, I have it 17 games, 74 receptions, 923 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. And that might be a disappointment based on the size of that contract that he got. But once again, it comes back to Will Levis and whether he can answer those questions about him potentially being a long-term starter in that Titans offense. Now, there's a few minor moves that I want to go over quickly here. The Bills signing Curtis Samuel, finally making a move to replace Gabe Davis. It's a 3-year, $24 million deal for him. And I'm putting it under the minor moves because I think that it's unlikely that this is going to be the last thing that the Bills do for their receiving core. And we've seen, I mean, Stephon Diggs is putting out these strange tweets about he's ready for whatever. I don't know if that means there's a potential move there where he could get traded. That's been something that's been speculated about a lot over the last year or two. But hopefully Diggs is going to stay. I think Samuel fits as a very nice number 3 receiver in this offense, and I think the Bills are still going to search for another playmaker either in free agency or more likely in the draft. Until we know who that is, it's kind of hard to lock in a projection for Samuel, but remember, his best season came in Carolina when he was under current Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. That was back in 2020. He was the wide receiver 27 in fantasy points per game, had 77 catches, 851 receiving yards, had 200 rushing yards, had over 40 carries, and had 5 total touchdowns. So Samuel could be a very good piece. I'm not ruling out that he could potentially be the number 2 in that offense, but it would really be the number 3 pass catcher because I think that Dalton Kincaid is going to step up and be the number 2 there, but we'll see what they do in the draft. I'm hoping they got another move up their sleeve. Now, the Packers, they re-signed running back A.J. Dillon, and he explored the free agent market a little bit, couldn't really find a contract that he liked or a significant role elsewhere, I suppose, so he's returning to Green Bay. I know his name has some value still. He's 25 years old, though, and he's a guy whose production has declined for a couple seasons. And now he has a younger three-down back coming into the mix in Josh Jacobs, who's going to take over for Aaron Jones. And I would expect that that means we're going to see Dylan's touches decrease even further. So his path to fantasy relevance, it's going to require a Jacobs injury, though. Dylan, even in that scenario, if he stepped up as a spot starter, he would still only be a low ceiling, volume dependent fantasy guy. The Eagles, now they acquired a backup quarterback today. There was some talk that they were looking at different veterans on the free agent market. Eventually, they decide to make a trade. And as usual, general manager Howie Roseman looks for an opportunity, finds some value out there, and goes and grabs it. So Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers. Kenny Pickett clearly was not happy about that. A lot of reports coming out that the reason that they made this deal was because the way he's acted since they announced that they were signing Russell Wilson. So Pickett relegated to backup duties on a team that he used to be the starter on, didn't want to do that. The Steelers move quick. They get rid of him and send him to Philadelphia. Now he's going to get a chance to just write a new chapter for his career. He's going to hold a clipboard behind Jalen Hurts, which I'm sure is not the situation that he wants to be in. But it's clear to me that he wasn't ready to be a starter in the NFL, and maybe he never will be. But hopefully he can rehabilitate his career in Philadelphia. And, you know, his only real fantasy value is going to be as a super flex stash just in case Hurts goes down. But something that I want to mention, because it is possible that Hurts could get injured at some point this year, and all of a sudden we have a Kenny Pickett led offense for the Eagles. Another backup quarterback getting acquired, that's Sam Howell. He's going to Seattle. And this was one that I kind of hinted at early in the week when Washington went out and when they signed Marcus Mariota. It's kind of a puzzling move. They figure that they're going to go quarterback number two overall, so why would they need Mariota and Howell? I wondered whether that meant Howell could get traded. Sure enough, he did. They send him across country, and he's going to go to the Seahawks, where it's a nice spot for him. I don't think he's really going to challenge Geno Smith for the starting role, so he's going to step in there as his backup. But if Geno Smith misses time during the season, if he struggles significantly, then all of a sudden we could see Howell get a chance. And he would be an interesting fantasy starter in that scenario because of his rushing ability and because of the Seahawks skill position talent. Could be interesting if by any chance he gets to start some games this year. Now, some even more minor moves to mention. A bunch of veteran receivers getting released, guys that we'll see sign, I'm sure, over the next week or so. Michael Thomas released from the Saints. Corey Davis, who retired last year, he is asked to be reinstated, and the Jets have released him. So we'll see. There's a chance he could still play for the Jets this year. They might sign him to a new contract, but he's going to take a shot at a comeback now. The Cowboys, right before we started recording, they released Michael Gallup. Hunter Renfrow got released by the Raiders. Not that I really feel like any of these guys are going to be big names and make huge fantasy impacts this year, but we're just trying to keep you up on all the latest. We also had Desmond Ridder get traded for Rondale Moore. So Desmond Ridder going to be the backup in Arizona. Don't think that he has much fantasy value at all. And if he were to start, I would not even be confident that he would even be able to give you decent fantasy production as the spot starter there. And Rondale Moore, also not that excited about him. I mean, he had some opportunities with the Cardinals, had a few games, but overall really wasn't able to put it together. And now he's going to a Falcons offense where he's going to be behind the likes of Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. So I don't think it's going to happen for Rondale Moore. And then I guess I should mention before we get out of here, I've had some people ask me about it. Justin Fields, still on the trade market. We're waiting for this one to happen. I don't know if this is because the Bears are holding out and hoping for a better offer, if maybe they think that Fields will be willing to play backup to Caleb Williams. I'm not sure what the situation is right now. I'm surprised that the league is not more interested in getting him, which right now it would not cost much to get him in a trade, I don't think. So kind of surprised that we haven't seen that deal go down yet, but I'm sure that's one that is going to happen before the draft. And again, I did this early in the week, but I want to finish the episode off just by going over the best of the rest, the top names that are still available, and it's getting very, very thin now. But at quarterback, Ryan Tannehill still out there, a guy who has a lot of starting experience. Doesn't seem like there's going to be a starting job out there for him, though. Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody that has fallen out of favor in maybe his last couple destinations. And I don't know what that means for his career long term, but you'd think there would be a backup job somewhere for him. Carson Wentz, a guy who waited for quite a long time last year before he actually signed a contract with a team, so might end up in a similar situation. And after that, guys like Josh Dobbs and Tyler Huntley. So we'll move on to running backs. And at running back, you got to go pretty far down here. It's Ezekiel Elliott, and I've talked about him in past episodes. I think he's still got a little something left in the tank, but certainly not a starter anymore. And after him, names that you're going to recognize, but not necessarily guys that I think are going to be able to do much fantasy-wise this year. J.K. Dobbins, he's dealing with the injury. Alexander Mattison was released. Clyde Edwards-Helaire really never got it going with the Chiefs. Deonta Foreman, a personal favorite of mine. I think a guy who, when he gets the volume, he can produce, but is there going to be a spot for him to get the volume, or is he going to have to wait until training camp or early in the season when an injury happens and he finally gets his opportunity? At receiver, we're looking right now at Mike Williams. He is the top name still out there and really the only one that matters, in my opinion, fantasy-wise. Can't wait to see where he signs and if he can still do something this season for fantasy. Odell Beckham Jr., Michael Thomas, DJ Chark, Tyler Boyd, KJ Osborne, you get the idea. These guys can come in and be contributors, could be role players, but not necessarily anyone that you're going to be starting in fantasy this year. At tight end, it's really, really dried up now. Logan Thomas is really the only one that has significant starting experience out there. You go a little further down to somebody like Robert Tonyan, but he's already transitioned to the backup phase in his career. Maybe that's what will happen to Logan Thomas as well. But that rounds it up for today. That is all for this show. Make sure you check out all my content over at The Score. Just tons of stuff from this week. All the posts and the episodes that I mentioned off the top. I'll be back next week with updated Dynasty Trade Value Charts. We will have another episode for you. But until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.